Welcome to the Financial Management Magazine podcast series, a service of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. This series features discussions with chartered global management accountants and other experts about the topics, trends and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession.
The coronavirus crisis has landed squarely in the CFO's office. From shifting revenue streams to human resources upheaval to the rush for cash management, all the way to the urgency of scenario planning, the CFO and the finance function are on the front lines of organizations' COVID-19 responses. The CFO's outsized role in the COVID-19 response comes as no surprise to Ankar Agrawal, a partner in McKinsey & Company's New York office. He's a co-author of McKinsey's recent report, The CFO's Role in Helping Companies Navigate the Coronavirus Crisis. Ankar, along with his co-authors, looked at the ways that CFOs can drive organizational response to the crisis. I'm FM Magazine senior editor Drew Adamek, and I spoke to Ankar recently about how CFOs can create an internal cash culture, how to find opportunity in crisis, and why CFOs should develop a more holistic view of data during the coronavirus crisis. Ankar, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Drew.
In facing this crisis, what in your mind is a CFO's first priority?
Yeah, Drew, I see a CFO's role and priorities in three horizons. I think the first horizon is resolve and resilience, which is managing the here and now. And those primarily include, first and foremost, having crisp and clear communications within the finance teams, with the management team, with the board and investors, and being the voice of reason in these times of uncertainty, because CFOs have a great deal of responsibility in sharing the perspective of the financial performance of the companies. So that's the first. The second is setting up immediate actions. And most companies are actually facing a liquidity challenge. So being purposeful around cash and cash management and setting up a war room and infrastructure to really drive near-term cash room implications is very, very important and key. And then doing what we call scenario-based assessment and planning is core and center of planning for CFOs. And given the uncertainty, having a view on what are the likely scenarios that might unfold, having a perspective on what are then the implications for their respective sector and company, and the likely hotspots where there might be EBITDA risks, cost risks, or uncertainty based on the footprint, the customers, I think is very, very important. I think that's the first horizon of response the CFOs have to tackle.
And you've written quite clearly about the need for a cash war room. What exactly do you mean by that? And what are some things that CFOs in my audience listening can do to help establish their own?
So what we mean by cash war room is an infrastructure which allows you to rapidly get organized around key cash events, key cash KPIs, key cash metrics. And more important than having the metrics and the data is creating a cash culture within the organization. Organizing executives around the need for cash, the cash mindset, and that then we need to really look at each and every action we are taking with that framework. And then finally, creating a bit of a central team, which is looking and managing all of the cash-related items, whether it is receivables, payables, purchase order outstandings, what are the sales, incoming sales. And by the way, this also applies to many companies which are facing growth-related events where they are driving significant growth because their products are in need or required, and they really need to manage their cash through this period of growth. So it applies both in companies facing a liquidity challenge as well as growth. I think that's what we mean by cash, which is a combination of data and transparency around key cash events, a cash culture, and an organization structure of executives who are taking decision in a very purposeful way to make sure there is rigor on cash management. And the final thing I would say is cash is not only about the income statement. There is an element of managing the balance sheet very purposefully. And there is, you know, the inventory is part of it. How are you really getting visibility into your inventory on a daily basis and getting your products to where it is needed? I think that's also part of the responsibility of a cash room.
This has come as a major shock because it's been so swift. What are some of the steps that you see that CFOs can take to stabilize their business sort of in the face of this stunning reversal of fortune, as it were?
You're right, Drew. I think it has been very sudden. That said, many CFOs do have resiliency plans, right? And if we can learn anything from the last few recessions, there is a way to sort of work through this in a very purposeful way. One is just taking a very hard look at productivity in each of these, you know, scenarios. Are we doing everything we can to make us productive? Accessing and bolstering the balance sheet, which includes drawing down the revolvers, getting access to cash from sources which you had not thought before. For example, many suppliers or vendors are asking their customers for extended credit terms and really making sure that they can stay solvent through this crisis. And then finally, I think there is an important aspect of financial planning and the finance teams themselves for even smaller companies where the mindset of daily, weekly managing through is pretty important. And I think this is the time where finance teams for small companies can really be that front and center of the response. So I would say those would be a few things to consider for CFOs as they stabilize their businesses.
How does your research see the role of FP&A in this current crisis for organizations?
Yeah, and Drew, as I said, FP&A are at the center of driving decision-making, even in times of normalcy. Today, as you know, there's a lot more uncertainty. Their role is really, really, really important. So first and foremost, driving very strong business partnership, working with their business leaders to understand what's happening in the front lines. And that's happening in a remote way. So, you know, that takes even more skills than finance teams are used to. So how are you getting the temperature of what's happening in the front line is very important. Second is planning in a very different way, in a scenario-based way, as I discussed before, but being very, very agile and thinking about triggers and aspects of how you would move from one scenario to another and what actions then are required for the businesses. So instead of an year-long planning cycle, essentially, we are in a month or less than a month planning cycle, and that becomes really important for FP&A. And third, getting more adept in leveraging data which is non-financial data. I think that has been a theme for financial planning for several years now. But in this crisis, getting more familiar with, you know, other sources of data and drawing insights from it, whether it is number of clicks or how customers are buying through online, and then how does that impact the financials? I think the imperative of taking a very holistic view of data in this time is actually even more important. So I would say FP&A is at the heart of it, Drew.
You and I spoke last time about the importance of digital and digital connectivity for finance. How has this crisis amplified that importance in your mind?
It has indeed amplified it in many different dimensions, Drew. First and foremost, as you know, many of the finance teams have relied on business process outsourcing and offshoring. And in these times of crisis and uncertainty, as many countries across the board are in lockdown, having access to data and having a seamless process becomes even more important. So many finance teams, it will become a theme, not even today, but in the years to come. How do you really make sure that you have redundancy management, cybersecurity aspects of your business, and then more importantly, a stable business process which you can manage, and that will rely increasingly on digital tools. And in the short term, I would argue there is still some space for finance team to consider real-time data visualization approaches, which can be very easy and fast to put together so that they can organize around similar sources of data and insights. So both on the near term and then over the long term, I believe this will impact how finance looks as digitization in their own core work. And more importantly, I think the ROI on many of the digital projects, digital technology investments, and the business cases around it will fundamentally change. So I think this will have a profound effect on how finance approaches digitization broadly too.
I want to shift gears just a little bit away from crisis management and more into opportunity. What are some of the steps that CFOs can take or some of the approaches that CFOs can take in finding opportunity in this crisis?
Right. I think if there is one thing we can learn from the last couple of recessions, and we have done extensive research on this, Drew, on the last recession, there are some patterns which emerge for companies which have thrived and survived recessions, those which we call resilience. So a few themes for CFOs and finance teams to think about. One would be adopting a very bold transformation mindset on reallocating resources. I think the crisis provides an opportunity to look at the portfolio of businesses very, very carefully. And having a very transformational mindset, which is not 5 to 10% reallocation, but 30 to 40% reallocation. How do you really drive that behavior and mindset shift? I think that's one aspect of an opportunity. The second would be around mergers and acquisitions, which is also an opportunity set for companies to evaluate. There is, you know, evidence which says resilient companies have indeed made the right portfolio renewal-driven M&A in times of crisis coming out of the recovery. So I think thinking hard about how does mergers and acquisition further accelerates the strategic execution in the companies, I think is a core opportunity set for CFOs. And by the way, that includes divestments too. And thinking, taking a hard look at what might be opportunities for shedding assets as companies come out of recession. I think that would be the second. And lastly, which I mentioned earlier, which is productivity and the role of digitization. This has been the call to action on digitization in many sectors. I work in healthcare, and telehealth has been a big shift in this crisis, where adoption of telehealth has become the next normal in many ways. And I expect similar adoption of digitization as a way to enhance productivity, as a way to enhance access, and as a way for business model transformations for many sectors. So I think those would be a few themes and ideas for CFOs to consider as they come out of the recession and look for opportunities for reimagining the future.
What kind of mindset shift are CFOs going to have to make post-COVID-19?
Yeah, Drew, I think this has been a call to action for many CFOs and, frankly, many CEOs. First and foremost, taking care of employees and working in teams very differently, demonstrating empathy and personal leadership in a way which was always important, but even more important today. I think that is one way fundamentally finance teams and CFOs will work very differently. Second is around, you know, challenging the status quo, right? I go back to my example of telehealth, where customers, providers, payers are adopting technology at a pace which was unheard of. And therefore, taking a very hard look at each and everything we do to sort of really thrive through recessions and event-driven responses, I think would be a way for not only CFOs but each and every sector leaders, company leaders, to really reimagine the way they do business. And then finally, I think the purpose of what we do, how we do it, is at the front and center of the debate and dialogue. At least for us, when we work with our clients, that's how we are seeing them respond in a very courageous way. So I think the dialogue and debate around the purpose of what we do each and every day will help companies and CFOs reimagine the future.
Will you talk about how important communication is now for CFOs and how it's changing or how it should change?
Yeah, I think the first and foremost, the communication is very, very important in times of crises. Both the frequency of it, which is, you know, let's take investor communication as an example. Investors are looking for transparency and honesty and trust, and what CFOs share, and by the way, not share, which they don't know, is equally important, right? So communication with investors is at the core part of it. And then networking and connecting with peers and understanding how other CFOs are responding, other partners are responding in crises, their customers, their suppliers, their vendors. I was on a roundtable yesterday where there was an honest dialogue among CFOs across the healthcare value chain on how they can be helping each other on actions they are taking, which was very heartening to see. So that communication broadly and across, I think, equally important. And lastly, I would say communication within the management teams. The CFOs have been part of the planning and strategic planning efforts, performance management efforts, but probably the intensity of it and the debate and dialogue and helping establishing a framework by which the management team can take decisions in uncertainty, I think that is another important aspect of communication. So I think if I can summarize, I would say, look, CFOs have to be more front and center of the dialogue and shape the debate, even if they don't know the answers of everything.
Ankar, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Drew.
I'm FM Magazine Senior Editor Drew Adamack, and you've been listening to my conversation with Ankar Agrawal, a partner in McKinsey's New York office, about the CFO's role in helping organizations navigate the COVID-19 crisis. For more news and reporting on the coronavirus and how management accountants can handle challenges related to the outbreak, visit FM's Coronavirus Resource page. Thank you for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.